Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A happy new year to you all and a blessed eighth day of Christmas. On the eighth day after his birth, according to the covenant God had made with Abraham some 2,000 years earlier, Abraham's seed, the son of Mary, was circumcised. It's hard for us to understand how significant that event was among the Jewish people at that time. To us who live 4,000 years after God first gave the sign of circumcision to Abraham and to his offspring, and more importantly, to us who live some 2,000 years after Christ fulfilled the Old Testament and replaced it with the New, circumcision is meaningless. It's a matter of personal choice for personal reasons that some parents make for their little boys. It has no cultural or religious significance for us whatsoever as New Testament believers. But that doesn't mean it's any less important for us as Christians to understand. And so we set aside every year the eighth day of Christmas, also known as New Year's Day, to reflect on what happened that day after Jesus was born, to reflect on the Bible's teaching of circumcision. And once again, it coincides perfectly with our review of the small catechism, which we've been doing at our midweek services for the last several months, because after the chief part on the Lord's Prayer, which we finished a couple of weeks ago, comes the chief part in the small catechism on holy baptism, which is essentially the New Testament upgrade of the Old Testament sacrament of circumcision. God came to Abraham some 2,000 years before Christ was born and made a covenant with him. And these are the words God spoke to Abraham in the book of Genesis. "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your seed after you. Also, I give to you and your seed after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations." If you think about it, what a lopsided covenant that was that God made with Abraham. God, for his part, promised to be God to Abraham and to his seed. That means he promised not to be their enemy, but to be their father, to care for them, to protect them, provide for them, guard them, and guide them. That's what God agreed to do for Abraham and his seed. And what was their part? What were they to do for God? Well, nothing, because God doesn't need anything. But they were to do something as a sign that they wanted to be included in the covenant. Abraham and his seed, his male offspring, were to be circumcised in their flesh. Now, we always wonder why, of all things, circumcision. Well, the best we can gather from Scripture are a few reasons. Scripture uses circumcision to symbolize the cutting off of the sinful flesh, the sinful nature. It pointed to the fact that every child, even children, are born in sin, born outside of the covenant with God. And every child has to be brought into that covenant in order to be saved. Scripture also uses circumcision to symbolize repentance. It's called the circumcision of the heart. And circumcision was only for little boys, pointing Abraham and the generations that followed to a male child who would be born, who would shed his blood as the atonement price for the sins of the world. Now, the seed refers to Abraham's descendants, but St. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that it refers also and more specifically to one singular, one special seed, to one special descendant of Abraham, that is, to the Christ. The Christ would be the true seed and therefore the true heir of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And so on the eighth day after his birth, the son of Mary was circumcised and was then at that time given the name Jesus, which means Savior, because he was the promised seed of Abraham who would shed his blood to save his people from their sins. His circumcision was the very first shedding of that precious blood. But as we know, it wouldn't be the last. How does all this relate to holy baptism? Over the next few weeks at our midweek services, we'll look at different aspects of baptism. Today, we're focused on what it is and its relationship to circumcision. What is baptism? We say in the Small Catechism, baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and connected to God's Word. Which Word of God is that? Our Lord Christ says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Well, baptism, the word itself, means a washing or a cleansing. There are a few kinds of baptisms mentioned in the New Testament using the Greek word for baptism. There is a baptism of water that was purely for Jewish ceremonial cleansings, like the cleansing of a dish or even the cleansing of a couch. There's a baptism of fire that's mentioned. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit that's mentioned. But what we call holy baptism, the sacrament of holy baptism, is unique. It includes both water and God's command to use that water in a special washing that is to be done in His name. There is no specific method of baptism mentioned in the Bible. Water can be applied in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit by pouring or sprinkling or by dipping or by immersing a person in it. The important thing, in addition to applying water to a person, is the word and command of God. He has commanded His ministers to baptize, and so we do. The command includes all nations, as Jesus said. No one is excluded from that. And of course, that includes little children. But how do we know little children are to be baptized? Well, because among other reasons, little children were to be circumcised, as the Lord Jesus Himself was when He was a week old. God brought little baby boys and their families along with them into His covenant of grace through that sacrament. Now, are we to believe that God included little children in His Old Testament but excludes them from His New Testament, His New Covenant? Why? Because they aren't old enough to know what baptism is or to tell us whether or not they want to be baptized? Well, those 1-week-old little Israelite baby boys didn't understand circumcision either, nor were they expected to express their agreement to the ceremony. No, the ceremony was performed on them and for them at their parents' obedient request. And yet God's promise was most certainly applied to the children themselves who were circumcised. And then their parents instructed them as they grew. But neither circumcision nor holy baptism actually saves anyone apart from faith. So can those little children actually believe? Can they have saving faith? Well, John the Baptist most certainly did, even when he was a baby growing in his mother Elizabeth's womb, as he leapt for joy at the greeting of Mary, who was pregnant at that time with baby Jesus. And Jesus speaks of the little children, even infants, who were brought to him as those who believe in me. And listen to what the psalmist says as he prays. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Baptism goes hand in hand with faith. As Paul said in the first lesson today that you heard from Galatians, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Baptism brings a person into Christ, separates a person from all of the cultural things that he or she may have attached to him or her, brings everyone into Christ so that God sees each one, each baptized believer, as Christ. And therefore, each baptized believer is part of Abraham's seed, making all of us into heirs of eternal life. And just as Abraham's seed was circumcised under the first covenant, so all of Abraham's seed is circumcised under the new covenant with that better kind of circumcision called holy baptism. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, in Christ you were all circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Just as our Lord Christ was circumcised, so you have been circumcised with a different kind of circumcision, with holy baptism. And the promise made to you there is just like the promise made to Abraham. The Lord will be your God, your Father, to care for you, to protect you, to guard and guide you and provide for you. As we commemorate today the circumcision of baby Jesus, remember your baptism. And give thanks to God for using that holy cleansing to bring you into the body of Christ, making you a child of Abraham, a son or a daughter of God, and an heir of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.